Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio. Donald Trump making kind of a victory thank you lap. Not this weekend, but he started last week, and he'll pick that up again on Tuesday. But, of course, one of his big stops was in Indianapolis to discuss his negotiation with United Technologies and the carrier over keeping some of those jobs, a significant number, but still some of those jobs that the company had planned to send to Mexico.
Companies are not going to leave the United States anymore without consequences. Not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I'll tell you right now. We're losing so much. So one of the things we're doing to keep them is we're going to be lowering our business tax from 35%, hopefully down to 15%, which would take us from the highest tax nation virtually in the world. This is terrible for business. To one of the lower tax, not the lowest yet, but one of the lower tax.
So this morning, the president-elect was back on his favorite messaging vehicle, Twitter, to say that the U.S. is going to substantially reduce taxes and regulations on businesses, but any business that leaves our country for another country, fires its employees, builds a new factory or plant in the other country, and then thinks it will sell its product back in the U.S. without retribution or consequence is wrong. There will be a tax soon on our strong border of 35% for these companies wanting to sell their product, cars, AC units, etc., back across the border. This tax will make leaving financially difficult, but these companies are able to move between all 50 states with no tax or tariff being charged. Please be forewarned. He said any company planning to move jobs is making an expensive mistake. Quote, the United States is open for business, unquote. That's the president-elect in a kind of a Twitter blast after Saturday Night Live kind of used his propensity for Twitter as its cold open last night. Well, joining me now here in the Allstate Showcase studio is a good friend of the show, Elliot Richardson. He's the founder and CEO of the Small Business Advocacy Council, and that's an organization aimed at improving the economic climate for small business in the state of Illinois. Elliot, thank you so much.
Rick, thank you so much for having me.
You know, it seems like we could just replay the last time we talked here,
yep.
Given the fact that we went through the veto session. We still have discussions underway between the governor and the legislative leaders. We have a stopgap budget plan that expires with the new year, with the end of this year. And we're no closer to any kind of resolution.
You're 100% right. It's like Groundhog Day over and over and over again. And what's going on in Springfield is really pathetic. You know, we represent small businesses throughout the state of Illinois. And what we want to do is we want some certainty. We want our government to work. We don't want them to be the problem. We want them to get out of the way and let us run our businesses. And right now, what's going on in Springfield is making it very difficult for small business owners to make decisions. It's impacting their clients and their customers, whether that's nonprofits, whether it's other companies that are talking about leaving the state. And this uncertainty cripples, it paralyzes small businesses. And then when we also look at the overall economy of the state of Illinois, and you see us falling deeper into debt, losing millions of dollars, every day our politicians in Springfield cannot come to common sense resolutions to our issues. It's mind-boggling. And the only word for it is pathetic, and it needs to change, Rick.
But what's going to make it change? I mean, we had this kind of timeout after the legislature adjourned in May and kind of this agreed-to timeout, and we're going to have the election. And we saw that, you know, come January, there will be a few seats that change. But basically, the fundamental structure of Democrats controlling the legislature, a Republican governor, that doesn't change. And to do anything, you need 60 votes in the House and 30 votes in the Senate.
So the proposals are out there. The compromises are out there. And at this point, after pushing to end this budget impasse for almost 2 years now, you know, most of our members have come to the conclusion that are engaged in the political process that it's not going to happen from leadership. The way to solve this is going to have to be putting pressure on people's individual legislators, the rank-and-file senators and representatives in people's districts, and making the masses more important to them than leadership. Because it just does not seem, whether you're a Democrat, whether you're a Republican, we're a nonpartisan group, it does not seem that leadership on either side is listening. Because what we're saying is there's proposals, there's initiatives that are out there. We could get together. You guys need to get together. Get yourselves in a room, get a whiteboard, and solve it like business owners do, like nonprofits do, who are trying to figure out how to work with underprivileged kids. Anybody who runs an organization understands problem solving and moving forward is essential. And right now, the leadership of both parties doesn't seem willing to do that. So the way to solve it, political pressure, grassroots pressure on rank-and-file legislators.
We're talking with Elliot Richardson from the Small Business Advocacy Council. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Some weird Christmas music via my friends over at Mental Floss. That's from the 1979 album Dear Santa, Let's Disco.
There you go.
It's hard to believe. You listen to that, you wonder how disco ever got so popular, I have to tell you. But Elliot Richardson is here with me. He's the founder and CEO of the Small Business Advocacy Council. We're talking about the continued impasse in Springfield. And Elliot, you were talking about when you talk to rank-and-file legislators and they say there's room to compromise, there's room to, you know, to reach agreements, and that it needs a groundswell of support from the bottom up kind of thing. The question I have, though, is has that dynamic changed? Because when you look at the November election, and I'm not talking about the results, I'm talking about the money.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? And when you're looking at the millions and millions of dollars spent on each side, and that's money, basically that's loyalty and allegiance money, that how can a rank and file lawmaker or are any willing to buck up against all of that money and the resources, knowing what's going to be coming at them for being disloyal?
So, you know,
And we've always talked about the power of the legislative leaders, but now you throw in the governor and his allies, and I'm not singling him out. I'm just saying it's a new dynamic here that, as Republicans say, well, now we're on an equal balance with Democrats.
Yeah, you know, when I was listening to that disco music, I was thinking a way to end the budget impasse is
let him play that
over and over again in a room with the leaders until they come to a compromise. You know, when you talk to rank-and-file legislators, I think what they're looking for is for the public to provide them the cover and the support to make them move. There was a ridiculous, disgusting amount of money spent in the last election on negative ads. I mean, the number escapes me. I know it was really high because we posted about it. But and then, you know, you expect these people who beat the heck out of each other for months during an election to get into a room and compromise, but they have to do it. And there is one thing that can trump money, no pun intended, and that is people. And that is grassroots getting out and letting legislators know that if they don't push their leadership to solve this, no matter how much money they've got, they're going to lose the election.
But what we've still haven't seen in these 2 years, now, sure, there's the interests of businesses and small businesses, many of whom are vendors to the state.
Absolutely.
I mean, not just the ancillary things, but you have that. But the regular person, isn't feeling any effect, any ill effects of this. I mean, sure, let's say you have a university closed downstate that devastates the economy of a small town. I mean, we've already saw from the legislature, one of the things they did do was the subsidies and what we're going to pay as ratepayers, both residential and commercial, to keep two nuclear power plants open, that the governor says, well, that was about the jobs in Clinton and the Quad Cities, about and the devastation that could have caused there. But you look at some of these, you look at what universities, higher education has downstate, Eastern Illinois, here, you know, Chicago State, the effect, you know, that has on economies.
The whole thing's interrelated. Kids not getting their MAP grants. If you're a business owner and you don't know whether or not your child's going to get a MAP grant, right, do you make a hire? I mean, if you're a vendor, there's going to be $13 billion in unpaid bills by this summer that are owed by the state of Illinois, and a lot of that's to small businesses. If you never know when you're going to get paid, if there's no certainty there, how can you hire somebody? How can you move into a bigger space? If you're not going to move into a bigger space, how can you use other small and large businesses to furnish your new space, to get your telephones, to buy your computers? It all impacts the economy. And what I would say is you're right, Rick. There has not been the groundswell yet of people saying, end this budget impasse because it impacts me. But the question is, how low does the state have to go before people start to say enough is enough? How many people does it need to affect? I mean, it's already hit the social service world. It's hit colleges. It's hit kids getting their MAP grants.
It's hit nonprofits.
It's hit nonprofits hard. And now when some of these nonprofits start going out of business and a small business owner says, man, I'm losing revenue because of the nonsense that's going on in Springfield, does that get people going? You know, it's got to end at some point. And it's going to take a groundswell of people sort of rising up and saying, solve this problem, to end what is an unprecedented budget impasse. I don't know that folks realize how unprecedented this really is in Illinois. I think it's the longest period without a real budget that any state's had in a remarkably long period of time. And we're losing millions of dollars every day. Every day.
Plus, as small businesses, too, and what you're finding, and we've seen this here in Chicago with Mayor Emanuel, is like, well, you know, I can't count necessarily on Springfield for stuff. So that involves raising revenues in different venues. And you know, when you hear talk about the governor on his agenda is a property tax freeze, I talked to one mayor who said, well, you know, that wouldn't necessarily impact me all that great because I can always raise a tax on something else. And schools can't do that.
You're 100% right. And the deeper into debt we go, we know there's going to be pain on the other side. And that causes this uncertainty that has caused people to leave the state. And that's not anecdotal anymore, Rick. That's serious. I know people who have moved their business out of Illinois. I know folks who have moved their residence out of Illinois and kept their business in the state, but the state continues to lose revenue. It's like a zero-sum game. We're going down the rabbit hole, and we need our folks in Springfield to solve it. And in terms of solving it, I want to be very, very clear. There are proposals out there, compromise, common sense proposals on workers' compensation, on beginning to chip away at the pension debt in a constitutional way. I mean, there are laws and proposals that are floating, and we just need somebody, some brave leader, some politician to grab it and start pushing it. And I think people would have something to get behind. But it's not hopeless. People just actually want to solve the problem. And the question is right now, do our leaders really want to solve the problems that are ailing the state, or is it all politics aimed towards 2018?
And what do you think?
I think the verdict's out. Now, I think the way that the leaders are acting, it's way too political and not nearly enough problem solving, and people are getting hurt. And that's so wrong. I mean, this state is not a political pawn. The people in it are not political pawns, and our leaders need to start doing the right thing and beginning to solve the issues. So I'm not optimistic about what the leaders might do, and I hope I'm wrong, but I am optimistic about what the people of Illinois and the business owners in Illinois can do to put pressure, great political pressure, on their legislators to start to get this thing solved.
Well, 2018 is the Illinois bicentennial. We don't know if there will be an Illinois by 2018.
We're not falling into Lake Michigan. We're going to be here, and I think people will get engaged.
That's Elliot Richardson. He's the founder and co-CEO of the Small Business Advocacy Council. Elliot, always good to have you here.
Rick, we so much appreciate this opportunity. Thank you.
We'll be back with more right after this.